You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. There are calls today for a state investigation into why the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality apparently failed to act on a warning of PFAS contamination, a warning written in 2012. Human studies suggest PFAS exposure is linked to some cancers, thyroid problems, higher cholesterol, and other diseases. Here's Lisa Wozniak, executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters.
The fact that this report was suppressed for 6 years is appalling and inexcusable. And at this point, there is a dire need for full transparency and a complete investigation into what took place within the DEQ between 2012 and today.
MLive's Garrett Ellison broke the story earlier this week about an MDEQ employee writing a 93-page report in 2012 that warned of a looming health crisis, a report that was basically ignored. Garrett is now with us via Skype. Garrett, just to refresh everyone's collective memories, how many PFAS contamination sites have now been identified in Michigan?
Oh, boy. I believe the number is 31, 32. It's hard to keep track of it at this point. It's about 15 communities is probably a better way to look at it, but it's a lot and more seemingly every week and every month.
So tell us, who was Robert Delaney? Who is this longtime DEQ employee who wrote the report? What's his expertise and specialty?
Well, Bob Delaney, he's a Superfund section site manager. He deals with toxic sites, and he was the site manager for the DEQ at Wordsmith Air Force Base in Oscoda. And he's a expert in the environmental fate and transport of contaminants. So he's the guy who figures out where the plumes are going, essentially.
So what was Bob Delaney's message? What was his warning in this report that he wrote in 2012?
Well, Bob Delaney was learned that there was PFAS contamination at Wordsmith in 2010. And over the course of the next few years, he became increasingly concerned about what he was learning about these chemicals and their ubiquity in industry and commerce. We've learned how widespread their usage is now. And, you know, he was raising the alarm, essentially, with his superiors, and he was trying to get them to take this seriously in 2012. He brought in a Colorado toxicologist to essentially boil down the findings of the C8 health study, the Parkersburg, West Virginia DuPont poisoning, mm-hmm. and essentially take that to his superiors and say, hey, we have this problem at Wordsmith. We very, very likely have it in many other places in Michigan because we've got data, some selective sampling data from around the state that indicates we have PFAS in surface waters. We're finding it at incredibly high levels in the fish around Wordsmith Air Force Base, and we really need to do something about it. Let's get in front of it. And the report went to Dan Wyatt, a former DEQ director, and it didn't really go much further than that.
And even in this report, Delaney had an action plan, wasn't it?
Yeah, he laid out what has essentially become the roadmap for the state's creation of MPART, the Michigan PFAS Action Response Team that Governor Snyder's office created in November. Now, Snyder administration officials say that, you know, this was, you know, Delaney's report was not the reason. It was not the thing that they used to create MPART. But if you read Delaney's report and then you read, you know, what MPART is and does, it's pretty much they're doing everything that he recommended. You know, he said we need a multi-agency response across statewide. We need to fund dosage response studies and sampling water systems around the state, map blood serum levels around the state, check food supplies, drinking water supplies, develop a statewide in-home carbon filtration program in quotes to get as many people off impacted water as possible.
Very prophetic.
Very much.
And so here, as you're saying, through all the emails that you got through the Freedom of Information Act, you see Robert Delaney had worries about PFAS going back to 2010 because of what he was doing in Oscoda around Wordsmith. He wrote emails. He gave talks. He wrote this 93-page report in 2012. So how did this report come to light?
Well, you know, it was sort of among people who were dealing with Delaney over the years, it sort of got out there in some ways. And there's a radio personality in Lansing named Steve Gruber, and he somehow got a copy of it, and he convinced Delaney to come on the radio and discuss the report with him. That was in October. And about that time, right after Delaney went on the radio, suddenly he became very difficult to reach. He was somebody who had always been pretty open to answering his phone and talking about PFAS, especially related to Wurtsmith and Oscoda. After that, he was difficult to reach, and within a month, the state created MPART.
And he continues to be difficult to reach.
Yes. He is not completely out of sight up in Oscoda, given his involvement in that site. He's on the local restoration advisory board. He participates in public meetings. But my attempts over the last 6 months to talk to him through official channels have been met with pushback.
Garrett, as you read the documents and then you spoke with scientists and lawmakers, what did you hear? Does anyone have any sense of why the warning was not acted on? Did they offer any perspectives?
Delaney's co-author, Richard Grandchamp, a Colorado toxicologist, he was really disappointed that it didn't really go much further than the DEQ director's desk. I think there's some speculation that it may have been seen as a bit of a Chicken Little situation. A report lands on the director's desk, essentially says the sky's falling and you need to spend millions of dollars to address it. And, you know, there just may not have been the will to do anything about it.
And we know Dan Wyant eventually was replaced because of problems in the response to the Flint crisis. But this was years before Flint became a thing. That did not begin till spring of 2014.
Yes, this was, this was before PFAS was on really anybody's radar in Michigan in a real way outside of environmental specialists and toxicologists and whatnot.
But they weren't distracted by Flint either.
Exactly. It's one of these things where you're reading through this report and you're reading through the emails that I obtained from the year 2010, even earlier. It's surprising how similar the concerns he's expressing back in 2010 are to what's being expressed today. It's almost verbatim the same concerns that we're only hearing now as, an explanation for this emerging contamination problem. He was raising the same questions that people are raising today, like what about the replacement chemicals for PFOS and PFOA? We don't know much about the toxicity of those, but, that there's no reason to believe that they're not as harmful. What about the effect on the food supply? How far do these things spread? And, a lot of these questions we're still trying to answer.
MLive's Garrett Ellison. Garrett, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.